It's that most wonderful time of the day when we get to speak to Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch on Robin Hood Radio. So, hello, Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch.
Hello. The food mensch, as you know, maybe not everybody knows, just came out of spinal surgery. So I'm impaired.
Okay.
To use a polite word. But I was feeling well enough, perhaps I pushed myself a little too much, when I came out of the hospital to cook again. So I called the butcher to get some product to cook, and I get the lovely, lovely wife of the butcher, who is sometimes at the cash register and takes orders for delivery. So Gina, who and I are buddies, Gina is sympathetic, of course, to my condition, and wants me to get better, of course. And with my bill, she sends me a recipe for a home remedy, and it uses a word I never heard before, a decotto, D-E-C-O-T-T-O, decotto di mele. Well, mele is apples, and this is a decoction. I had to look up the word decotto. I never heard it. And by the way, I never heard the English word either, decoction. You know it, Jill, right?
True.
I think you told me you knew that word.
Yes.
But a decoction in English is a you are releasing the goodness in something by cooking it, in essence. Mostly bark, B-A-R-K. Well, in the case of Gina's decotto di mele, we have figs, bay leaves, diced up or sliced apples, and an orange. Now, of course, Gina is not a recipe writer, so she didn't tell me what to do with any of these things.
Oh, was Gina being Elizabeth David?
Well, yes. It took me years to realize that Elizabeth David, who's an English food writer from the 50s, that she wrote in metric. The recipes were so narrative that you sort of didn't care what measurements they were. You somehow got it. Anyway, I made the decotto. Of course I did. Gina wants a report, she wrote on the bottom of the note. Even with her spare directions, I took six. Now, she calls for six figs. That's a lot of fig if you're using those nice, fat Turkish figs that come on a string, which is my favorite fig that I would buy. But what she really meant is those little black mission figs that are grown in California. Ooh. And that are actually very cheap, and I was shocked to learn are not very fattening either. It's like 25 calories and I forget how much fiber, but a lot of fiber in figs. So with all the seeds in figs, even though they're high in sugar, it ends up they're not so bad for a diabetic. So six figs. Two big apples. I didn't peel them. By the way, I trust Gina in general, but I had to go look up decotto di mele, and I found some recipes in Italian, because I was looking up decotto, which is an Italian word. And then later on, I went on to decoctions. So I put all this and four bay leaves. I went out and bought fresh bay leaves, because bay leaves themselves have medicinal qualities that I like. They're anti-inflammatory. They're good for your heart. I mean, I must say, in folk medicine, things are very vague about what exactly they do. And this is folk medicine. So this, and I'm sure Gina got this recipe from her mother, who made it from her grandmother, and I'll get to my own family concoctions in a minute. Anyway, I made it. According to all the recipes I found, you're supposed to strain it, which I did. It didn't result in that much liquid, however, which I then sweetened up with honey, according to directions from Gina, to taste. And it was tasty, and maybe it soothed my throat for a short time. I think it's the honey that soothed my throat. I think anything with honey is soothing. So that is my number. So that got me rolling, by the way. Jill, I know you know a lot about this. That got me rolling on my home remedies and thinking back to my own family home remedies, and both my grandfathers had home remedies. My grandfather, Louis Sonkin, who did drink, his favorite home remedy was drink a big cup of tea with a lot of honey and lemon, and then take a shot of whiskey and get under the covers and you'll sweat it out. That was Louis's sort of prescription for almost anything. My grandfather, Barney Schwartz, however, who knew something about cooking, but didn't drink, or hardly ever, he made an alcoholic concoction, which you can nowadays, I hear, I never looked for it, buy in a liquor store called Rock and Rye. Now, Rock and Rye, I contributed my grandfather's recipe for Rock and Rye to a cookbook, Gifts from the Christmas Kitchen, because I thought the whole point of this thing was to give recipes that you would give as a gift. Apparently, the other food writers who contributed to this didn't have the same idea. This book was published in 1983. So what is that, 42 years ago? And it was published by a woman named Irena, I-R-E-N-A. She called herself Irena Chalmers. She was an English woman. And she published, dozens, if not scores, of books, of these little paperback books called From Irena's Kitchen or something like that. And you can find them still. They used to be sold in Iraq. It was sort of a magazine kind of rack, and these were cheap little books. Well, this one that I have several others, but the one that I have, Gifts from the Christmas Kitchen, with my grandfather's Rock and Rye recipe, I keep it near me because there's one recipe in it that I swear by, and that's my friend Suzanne Hamlin's lemon bars. I think these are the best lemon, Louisville lemon bars, she called them, because she was from Louisville. And Suzanne passed away just about 2 years ago, and I had enough time to tell her these were the best lemon bars, and I found them in this book that we both had contributed to. And I must say, Irena, who was friends with everybody, got the best food writers in the country at that time, the early 80s, to contribute it to this book. And there are some precious recipes in here because they're some of them by famous food writers who never published these recipes anywhere else. I see Paula Wolford, my dear friend Paula, who now lives in the Hudson Valley. Maybe somebody who knows her is listening. She lives nearby Sharon. She contributed sweet and sour prunes. Anyway, back to home remedies. My grandfather's had those too. Speaking of the Rock and Rye, the essential ingredient in Rock and Rye is what's called rock candy, crystallized sugar, these days sold either on a string or on a stick, maybe in the old days as well. It's hard to find. And I must say, I've always had it in my mind that when I find it, I'm going to make some Rock and Rye of my own. But the other day I decided, why am I bothering to find it when I can order it online? And yes, sure enough, I ordered way too much rock candy sugar to make Rock and Rye. But we'll see. I'll do other things with it. The other home remedy, I love the word, is called a Guggle Muggle.
Do
you ever hear of Guggle Muggle?
No.
I called a couple of Jewish friends, including an Orthodox friend, and they never heard of Guggle Muggle either. And I had forgotten somewhat about Guggle Muggle until I somehow I don't know what I was looking for on my computer, it popped up. My grandmother, Elsie, the wife of Louis, who just drank a shot of whatever for this cold. Elsie was the person who made the Guggle Muggle in our household. You beat tea, and it's really eggnog, and it was given to us when we had a sore throat or a husky throat like I have now, or a cough, anything with your throat or your cough related. And if you had a cold with a cough, you got it. If you had bronchitis, they gave it to you. But it was nothing but egg, sugar, and milk.
Right.
So I can see my grandmother doing this in a glass, in a tall glass. She beat an egg. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if it was a whole egg or an egg yolk. I think it works either way.
This thing that I'm looking at says egg yolk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could be, as I say, either way. So you beat the egg yolk with sugar to taste. So one egg yolk, I would say 2 tablespoons of sugar is probably enough. And you beat it very thoroughly with a fork until it gets thick and foamy, just like you're making a cake, you know, except you're doing this in a glass. And then you pour in hot, really on the verge of simmering milk. And you beat it in slowly at first because you don't want to curdle the egg. But the milk will cook the egg. Everybody I've told this to over the last few days says, oh, you can't eat raw eggs because of avian flu. But that's not true. Well, it is true. You shouldn't eat a raw egg right now. However, this is not a raw egg. This is a cooked egg because the milk cooks the egg. In fact, it wouldn't thicken if it wasn't being cooked. And if it's too hot, the egg will curdle. So that's it. That's the whole deal. And my grandmother made us drink this while it was burning hot, which was not pleasant. But she said it's not supposed to be pleasant. It's medicine. It's not a treat. It's medicine. Well, of course, as it cooled down, it became, I thought, more soothing.
Yeah.
And a treat as well. In fact, I'm tempted to run into the kitchen right now. If I could run, I'd run into the kitchen and make myself a Gogol Mogol.
So can I just say a quick story? So it totally depends on the grandmother. And,
of course.
And there are apparently 2 different offshoots. One is warm milk, honey, and vanilla, and one is milk, sugar, and egg.
Well, let me say, the one with vanilla and honey is already fancy. So, I mean, sure, honey will do the job as well, I guess. I've never even tried it. But, you know, it depends a lot. Let me say, as I was searching through my own files for, I can probably find out, for whatever, attached to whatever was a little, a letter, actually, from a listener of old, not one of recent, but from old WOR days, telling me her Gogol Mogol story. Because she heard me say it on the radio, and it brought back memories. But in her family, a Gogol Mogol wasn't anything what it is. It was basically an ice cream soda.
So, a Gogol Mogol, okay.
I don't know. The Gogol Mogol is a Yiddish word, I'm sure. In my browsing around the Internet, I found a story from Barbara Streisand, who said that after her first solo gig performance, she went home to her mother, and her mother says, now you need a Gogol Mogol to soothe your throat because it's been irritated by all that singing.
Huh.
And her mother's Gogol Mogol was my grandmother's Gogol Mogol. And I think that was probably the most basic old-fashioned one, egg, sugar, milk. If you want to use honey instead of sugar, I guess that works too.
I think, you know, again, it gets one Polish and one Ashkenazic.
Oh yeah. But by the way, from what I read, the word Gogol Mogol is used all over Europe, all the way from England to the border of Russia.
And
well, I would think in Russia too.
And it was Gogolamugola.
Guggala-muggala. So, moving on, though, I have other home remedies in my life. I didn't even think about it until I thought about it.
Yeah.
And one of them that is a true decoction, I love this English word, decoction, is not an English drink, but it's called Mauby, M-A-U-B-Y. And Mauby is made from the bark of a tree that grows only in tropical places like the Caribbean, and I hear also Florida. And Mauby is the bark of, I forget now the name of the tree, but it's not important, Mabi tree. The Mabi bark is boiled with, and I learned how to make this, by the way, from a Trinidadian woman 35 years ago. Mabi bark, in her recipe, a cinnamon stick, some star anise, and allspice, whole allspice. And you boil all that together, so you get this spicy and bitter drink. The Mabi is bitter. And then you strain it, and that's the base for your Mabi. Now, I live next to a Caribbean community, probably the largest Caribbean community outside of the Caribbean. There's a lot of people and a lot of good stores where I can buy Mabi syrup in a bottle. And I used to buy it all the time. I was sort of addicted to it for a while. It supposedly is good for your blood pressure. I don't need it for that. And other things that ail you. So Caribbean people, Jamaicans, Bajans, I have to find out who else.
You went Trinidadian.
Trinidadians, I know, because I learned it from a Trinidadian woman, how to make it. I never make it, though, because I can buy it in a bottle. And it's a syrup. It's already got the sugar added. And you put it to taste in a glass with either water or carbonated water or seltzer. If you want a carbonated drink, it's very good. If you like bitter, it's very, very good. And I drank it for pleasure, not for medicinal purposes. The other thing that I drink, sort of for pleasure, but I think it works too, a home remedy I learned in Italy called canarino, which means canary. Canarino is a boiled piece of lemon zest, and in my version, with a bay leaf. Bay leaves themselves have medicinal qualities. I'm not sure what. I mean, it's another one of those things that people claim does everything good for you. But you boil them, if you can get it, a fresh bay leaf. They sell them in my supermarket, so it's easy for me to get. A fresh bay leaf and, let's say, a couple of inch long strand of zest, and it comes out, the resulting liquid, the tea, comes out pale yellow, like a yellow canary. So it's called canarino. And, by the way, a lot of people just make it with the zest. It's usually an after-dinner drink because it reduces bloating. So if you've overeaten, you can get a little digestive from just a bay leaf and a strip of lemon peel. Another one I use for my belly, I actually prefer this, is ginger tea. Now, I buy my ginger tea from a company called Traditional Medicinals, and I buy it from them because, one, I like the flavor, but I like the flavor because it's only ginger. The ones you buy in the supermarket are often mixed with some kind of citrus, lemon peel, lemongrass, which is not citrus, but smells like citrus. Or something that I don't really need or want. The other way to get my ginger tea is to stir a few chips of crystallized ginger into a cup of hot water, and they semi-dissolve. They certainly flavor up a cup of boiling water, and then you can eat what's left of the chip at the end. You can eat. It's very digestive, I have to say. And the other one, now this is one that I have been hearing about since I was a teenager, and my friend dated a girl whose father swore by apple cider vinegar. You must know this one, Jill.
Absolutely.
Apple cider vinegar is credited with all kinds of health benefits. I use it myself because I once had an endocrinologist. I'm on the edge of diabetes all the time. But I had an endocrinologist who said, you have to eat, and he was Iranian, American. And he said, you have to eat like a Persian. If you're from Iran and you're American, you say you're Persian. So I said, what do you mean eat like a Persian? He said, well, you have to have a big salad first and then eat everything else. Well, he was on the right path. However, it's not the salad that does it, although it's very good to eat fiber at the beginning of a meal. it's much better for your metabolism. Apple cider vinegar, just a tablespoon in a glass of water is actually delicious and refreshing. And if you can't take it, then use lemon juice. Squeeze a whole lemon into a glass and top it off the glass with water. What you need is the acid, which has been proven. Now, here's one of the most home remedies have not been proven to be remedial, but its only reason is most of them haven't been studied. When they do get studied, I find they usually are a scientific basis for the home remedy claim. So in the case of apple cider vinegar, yeah, having something acidic before you eat your big meal is very helpful to your metabolism. And if you're diabetic, it's great. So I do, in fact, alternate, really, with apple cider vinegar and water and lemon juice and water. And also lemon juice and water or apple cider vinegar and water is great to start the day as well. Get your metabolism going. My friend's girlfriend's father claimed it cured his, it helped his ulcers. I don't know. Maybe it calms him down a little bit, so his ulcers subsided. But people claim it's good for blood pressure. It's good for digestion. It's good for what ails you. Apple cider vinegar. And these days, by the way, I see everywhere apple cider vinegar with the mother of vinegar still in the bottle. That cloudy apple cider vinegar is very good vinegar. I use it to cook with as well as to drink. So I recommend you buy a bottle and try it.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
It's all that's. It's funny. That's just always been a staple. And in fact, I think if you recall, Heinz used to. You had the white vinegar and you had the apple cider vinegar. They were right next to each other in the grocery store.
Yeah, I don't. I think
I'm not talking about getting that now.
Apple cider vinegar may offer more than distilled white vinegar or wine vinegar, but I'm not so sure that it's that much different. I know that lemon juice, in studies, lemon juice has done the same thing as apple cider vinegar. But I could drink a glass of water with a tablespoon of red wine vinegar. I have red wine vinegar that tastes really good. So speaking of vinegar again, the biggest home remedy of all is chicken soup. I know Jews like to call it Jewish penicillin, but the fact is, chicken soup is made in many cultures and considered curative in many cultures. And I make what you would have to call bone broth, although a friend of mine contradicted me the other day and said it's not bone broth unless it's beef bone broth. Not true. Not true. I make chicken bone broth with my chicken backs that my butcher supplies for me, and I cook it for a very long time, usually at least 6 hours, sometimes seven. And at that point, there's nothing to do with the chicken except throw it out. And the result is a broth that is so full of collagen that it will gel even just after a little time in the refrigerator. If you put it in overnight, it's a firm, firm gel. That's because the collagen in the bones gets extracted and is now in the broth. Collagen is what makes the broth gel. There's a Yiddish word for that, but I can't think of what it is. I know it is in a huh sound, but that's all I can remember. Anyway, chicken soup has been proven to be helpful when you have a cold or you're sick because it gets the mucus released. I don't know how you say that scientifically. I do know that hot and sour soup does the same thing.
It's equally good.
It's equally good as bone broth. Maybe it doesn't have as much collagen, but it certainly does get everything flowing.
and you can keep, and I have likewise for many years, alternated between the two.
Yeah, why not? For flavor purposes, no good. That if you want to make a quart of Barney's Rock and Rye, you need a large orange cut into eighths, put that in a wide-mouth jar, a half of a lemon cut into eighths, put that in the wide mouth jar, and then top it off with 5 to 8, depending on your sweetness tolerance, of rock candy, and 24 ounces of rye whiskey. That's a whole bottle of rye. So put it in a quart jar and let it sit for at least a couple weeks, and then you've got some of the best liqueur you'll ever have.
And you timed this out perfectly because your voice is just needs a little bit of a rest.
It needs a little hot beverage.
We'll leave that decision up to you.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you.
I hope I can talk again next week.
All right. Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.